The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you for joining us today for this lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning how to love and serve like Jesus Christ, our Master and Lord. It is good to have you with us on this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are on our fifth week, and the last day of our fifth week. Time is flying, but I don't know about you. I have been so blessed by our journey so far. And maybe you are joining us today as your first time together. So I want to say welcome to you that is coming to this community of Jesus apprentices. All the archive of our previous episodes are available to you as well at our website, www.therescueworker.com. There we will find links for YouTube channel, the Facebook channel, the Instagram channel, the podcast, places where you can find the archives of our episodes. And in this community of Jesus apprentices, we have a model that helps us to make decisions in life, to help us to guide our life. And the model of Jesus apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. What a beautiful and powerful model to live for. Loving God with all we have and all we are, and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. We need to keep that in mind. That model must guide us as we interact with people, as we go on our days, making business, dealing with people, resolving problems and conflicts, loving God, loving your neighbor, and loving ourselves. On this journey of experiencing Jesus in Luke, every week we choose a Bible verse for us to memorize. And for the last time, we were referring to the Bible verse of this week that comes from Luke chapter 3, verse 6. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God. Can you repeat after me? And then all people will see the salvation sent from God. What a beautiful desire and ministry of John, because this week we have been studying chapter 3, focusing in the ministry of John the Baptist that aimed to present Jesus so people could see the salvation. And somehow our lives, our actions, our deeds, feelings, and thoughts must reflect the salvation, Jesus the One. Today, we are finishing the story of John. We have studied many aspects throughout this week on chapter 3. And Luke presents on verse 18, 19, and 20, those three last verses for this week and for today, as kind of the closing of John's ministry. And after that, what we'll be focused is in Jesus. So he's making this preparation for Jesus that comes next. So I tell you, it is a powerful message today as we come close to the story of Jesus, the final thoughts of John and his ministry. And for us to grasp and apply this message for our lives, we need to prepare ourselves in a sense of being attentive to God's word, to put us ourselves in a humble position and posture to receive God's word for us today. We need to lay down our guards, the walls of our life. We need to open our life to God so He can speak to us. And He wants to have an encounter with us today. He invites us to do that daily. We see this beautiful invitation in Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. It's based on this invitation, this encouragement to approach God, to be in His presence, that we come now to the Word, to the Word of God. But I want to give you 1 minute for you to prepare yourself, to slow down, to put aside any voice or concerns that is taking your attention and your energy, so you can focus exclusively in God's voice and God's word. So take this 1 minute as a preparation, and after that, then we'll come to reflect on the 3 verses for today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, for your care, for your word, and for Jesus Christ. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together and meet with you, having an encounter with you. It is good to be in your presence, God. May we feel your love. May we feel your protection, your healing, and your care. Speak to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So take your Bible, open it on Luke chapter 3, and let's reflect on verse 18, 19, and 20. But just a review to understand where we are. So chapter 3, we are in this ministry of John, a powerful ministry, a ministry that starts with a connection with the Hebrew Bible and the mission of John, and specific in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 as the one preparing the way for the Messiah. It's clear his goal is to prepare for the anointed one. On his message, that seems harsh, is a message of repentance. Let put aside any kind of meaningless spiritual rituals and life, and let's embrace the kingdom of God. Let's be real. And John goes there. People, as they understand the message of God's kingdom and its Messiah, its King, they ask, okay, what we are supposed to do? And John presents now the way of the kingdom, the lifestyle of the kingdom. So now that you have accepted the King, live according to the King's way. Practicing justice, loving mercy, and walking walking humbly before God. Then people, amazed by his message, asked, "Are you the Messiah?" And he said, no, I'm not Messiah. I'm just preparing the way, because the Messiah is coming, and he comes with the Holy Spirit and power. Comes with the Holy Spirit to help you to have experience with him and help you to live according to the King's way, practicing justice, loving mercy, and surrendering to God, walking humbly with God. So now we come to verse 18, as I mentioned to you. And verse 18 says, John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. So Luke is being clear here and say, hey, what I have presented to you is the summary of John's message, John's ministry. It's not the full picture. That is part of, and somehow the heart, the soul of his message. So he has shared a lot more, but everything about John's message was about repentance. Accept God's way, his kingdom, and his Messiah that is coming. But I want to call your attention here, because in verse 18 he says, he used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people, as he announced the gospel to the people. You see, I think we have a problem in today's Christianity as we understand and define gospel. I think we have an issue of understanding gospel. And maybe if I was able to open the mic to everyone that is listening to my voice right now and ask you, what is the gospel? I will probably have many different definitions of what is the gospel. Maybe the summary of some of these definitions would be around the sacrifice of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and how now we have salvation. And somehow we have this understanding that the gospel is the message of the cross, of the salvation and freedom of our sins by Jesus Christ. And there is no doubt that is the crucial message that is part of the gospel. However, that is not the full picture of the gospel. But somehow we understand, we listen, and we preach about the gospel as only this aspect of Jesus' sacrifice. But if we pay attention to what the four books of the Bible that tells the story of Jesus here on earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if we understand what they refer to gospel, what Jesus said about the gospel, the good news, I tell you, would be a different understanding of the gospel. And somehow, I want to unpack a little bit here. For sure, this concept will run throughout the book of Luke, but the gospel according, or the good news according to the gospels of the Bible and according to the letters of John, the gospel is the good news about God's kingdom. That God rules, that God is a sovereign God, and he is the king. And he has sent his Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. And we must submit our alliance. We need to surrender to His kingship and follow the Messiah. Follow the values of the kingdom. What are the follows? What are the values and principles of the kingdom? Well, Micah 6 verse 8. Know, people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what He requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So the values of the kingdom is doing what is right, loving mercy, and walking humbly before God, submitting to Him, surrendering to Him. So that is the way of the citizens of this kingdom. So if you study the gospel, and maybe I want to encourage you to that, what are the good news according to the four gospels? What is the good news according to Jesus? What you see is the good news of the kingdom. That was the main message that Jesus presented. His parables and the kingdom of God is like a merchant's. It's like a pearl. It's like these and treasure. It's all about the kingdom. So the gospel is the good news that God rules. He is the king. He is the sovereign one. And He has sent Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the king, who we should submit our lives, surrender our lives, and live according to the principles of the kingdom that Jesus demonstrated with His own life, doing what is right, loving mercy, and submitting to God. And the cross is the way that God implements His kingdom here. The cross and the resurrection is the way that you and I can become citizens of this kingdom. The cross, the resurrection, is the power for us to live according to the values of the kingdom, doing what is right, loving mercy, and walking before God. Yes, the cross, the resurrection, is a crucial element of the gospel message. But the gospel, according to the four, or the good news about according to the four gospels, they are about the kingdom. And that is important because John now, on the next verse, presents a contrast, or better saying, Luke presents a contrast about this kingdom that John is presenting, how to live in this kingdom, and the Messiah of this kingdom. Pay attention to verse now 19. John also publicly criticized Herod and Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. So John is speaking about the kingdom of God, the Messiah, the way of life of this kingdom. Now let's zoom in to the king of the Jews, Herod Antipas. He rules over Galilee. He is the son of Herod the Great. And Herod the Great was a person that loved more the world, its powers, passions, and seductions than God. He was a Jewish person, but a good friend with Caesar. He had many wives and many relationships that brought forth many kids that somehow mirror the lifestyle of his father. So Here, his son, Herod Antipas, he does many wrong things. He's not doing right. He's not loving mercy. And he's not submitting to God. But he is the king of the Jews. You see, two kingdoms, two kings, two ways of life. And among of many things that he did wrong, he, Herod, he divorces his wife. He was married to a prince of the daughter of a king of Arabia. Okay? So he divorced his wife to marry his half-sister. Okay? The problem was that his half-sister was married to his half-brother. And just to be clear, Herodias was not the wife of Philip, the other another Herod's son that we saw on Luke 3 verse 1 that was ruling on the north of Israel, Philip. Philip was the son of Herod with Cleopatra. Okay? Yeah, he had an affair with Cleopatra. So he had a son with Cleopatra, and now it's Philip on the north. Okay? So, according to Josephus, a Jewish historian that reports also the life and ministry of John, John divorces his wife to marry his half-sister that was married to his half-brother. And his half-brother that was previous married to Herodias, he was deserted by his father, the king, the great King Herod, right? The one that tried to kill Jesus. Yeah, they said, no, you're nothing, you're not part of my clan, my family anymore. And he lived in kind of an exile in Rome and Jerusalem and all that. So he was married to Herodias, but Antipas was in love with her, so he divorced his wife to marry his half sister from his half brother. You see, there's nothing right here. Where's mercy? Where is humbling to God's way in principles, submitting? So, because of that, John calls attention and preaches against this way of life. And his preaching is an invitation of repentance. The same way he was pointing out the sins and the situation of the people and calling them to repent, he's doing that with the king. Say, hey, you need to repent. You need to do what is right. You need to do what is merciful. And you need to submit to God. However, Antipas, instead of following the examples of the multitudes that said to John, okay, what I need to do, I want to accept this repentance. I want to accept the king. I want to prepare to receive the Messiah. I want to start living according to the way of the kingdom, doing what is right, loving mercy, and submitting myself, walking humbly before God. Herod, what he does? Verse 20. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to his many others. He didn't like the message, so he shut the messenger. But shutting the messenger didn't resolve his problem. But for him, it was easier to silence the messenger than align himself with the message that John was presenting. That John was presenting about the kingdom of God, submitting to the rulership of God, submitting to his coming Messiah, submitting to his ways of life, submitting to the ways of life of the kingdom of God. So the question for you today could be, when you are presented with God's message of repentance, how you react? Do you react like the multitude, the tax collectors, and the soldiers that said to John, "Hey, tell us what we need to do. We accept the message. We want to experience the kingdom of God. We need to submit. We want to live that way." Or when you hear God's message of repentance, you move towards to deny, to fight against that message, and even go after the messenger. You see, John's message was a message of repentance, giving opportunity for Antipas to accept the king, to put his life together. But Antipas was a disturbed man that didn't walk humbly before God. No, he has his own ways. And we see him a few times in the Gospel of Luke, and even in the crucifixion of Jesus. He's a disturbed man. A man that was not willing to do what is right. A man that didn't love mercy. A man that didn't submit to God. So, who are you when you face repentance message? Did you close your ears, or do you open your heart for that? Another important point here is how John was brave enough to go after his leaders, or his leader, his king, and saying, "You are not living according to the king, the kingdom's way. You're not doing what is right. You're not showing mercy, and you're not submitting to God." He was not afraid to call out, because you see, the citizens of the kingdom, Jesus' apprentices, they try to implement the kingdom here on earth. They try to express the values of the kingdom, the rulership of God, the submission to Jesus Christ, doing what is right, loving mercy, and submitting to God. We are trying to implement the kingdom here, to live out the kingdom here, not go out or wait for the kingdom to come one day. Oh, let me prepare here and then I'll be a citizen of the kingdom when Jesus comes. No, we need to demonstrate and proclaim and call people to do what is right, show mercy, and more than that, submit to God. So John was not afraid to go after his leader, not to criticize him, but give opportunity for him to repent. Not to throw stones at Herod, but to give him opportunity to turn away from his wrongdoings and align his life with God. So the citizens of God, they are not supposed to have people that they protect their pets. The citizens of God, they don't have politicians that they have a blind spot for them and they are okay whatever they do. The citizens of God, they don't protect the leaders of the community, the leaders of the church, or anyone. But they go and present a message of repentance if they are not doing what is right, loving mercy, and humbling before God. For sure, there's a way to do that, because not just doing right, but doing mercifully, with the goal of repentance, not of point fingers. Because it's not just doing what is right, it's doing the way Jesus would do it. And I do believe that every time Jesus had a tough message to share, he had tears in his eyes. And he would say, I know it's not easy to hear, but for your salvation, because I love you and I want to spend my eternity along your side, repent. What a message, what an example of John. We need more Johns today. People that love what is right, love mercy, and love submitting to God. Are you a John? Are you a John? I pray that we will recognize the good news of God's kingdom. That God is the ruler. That God reigns. And he has his anointed one. The Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, the King. Who we need to submit our lives to. And we should reflect the values of the kingdom. Doing what is right, loving mercy, and walking humbly before God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for this message. And help us, Lord, not be like Herod, that shut down the messenger, trying to avoid the message, but that we'll submit ourselves to God and his way and his kingdom. Help us, Lord, to do that. Forgive our sins. And I pray that throughout our day, we can do what is right. That we can show mercy and love and walk humbly before God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go for the questions for reflection, the questions that I want to encourage you to think about throughout the day, the questions for you to journey. So here are the questions. What is happening in this passage? What is stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? I pray that God will be with you. I encourage you maybe throughout this weekend to review some of this week's episodes. I think they are crucial on our understanding of the message of Luke and the ministry and life of Jesus. And you can do that visiting our website, therescueworker.com. And I want to encourage you of trying to invite someone to be part of this journey. Try to encourage someone to be part of this journey. To be part of this community of the rescue worker, the community of Jesus apprentices, where we are trying to learn how to love and serve like Jesus. I think we need to create this movement where people will study the Bible and submit their lives to God. And I think you have a special place and a special role to play on that. So I encourage you to do that. May God bless you, and I hope to see you next week.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.